Hello, welcome to Young Valley Leaders Season 2, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard making it happen for themselves and our community. I'm Lewis Holzman, your host, and today I'm here with Kendall Conrad.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Kendall, it's been a pleasure, we kind of just talked about this, meeting and passing over the years, but haven't really got a chance to really sit down. So I'm really looking forward to digging in to learn more about yourself, your career, your journey. Musician, singer, songwriter, leader of the pack, has millions of views and streams. And then you've certainly played with some of the biggest and best in the country scene, but certainly footprints all around the Lehigh Valley and beyond, catching out on a variety of different types of stages, music fests, bars, restaurants, private parties, but also business events. I've seen you at chamber events, you know, doing your thing, networking there, moving and grooving, because obviously the business is a side of just the artistry as well, and that needs to be brought together. I look forward to hearing more about how you're doing that. So thanks for joining us here today, and go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds, go Saquon, the whole team.
Champs.
They killed it.
They killed it.
I was like, my mom and I, we were just screaming in the living room.
Yes.
Like, it was an amazing game.
It really was. I was not expecting a blowout like it was.
No, but I wasn't mad about
it. Oh, not at all.
I wasn't mad about it.
Put him in the dirt. But hey, that's not what we're here. We're here to talk a little bit more about you. So I just want to jump in a little bit. Like, what led you to the Valley? Because you're not originally from the Valley, right?
No,
so what was your journey just like being here, getting to this point?
You know, it's funny because I gigged and played in bars and restaurants, like you said, you know, growing up in Pottstown and around the area. But it was really the Valley that gave me my biggest opportunities and my biggest shots.
Okay.
So first opening act for a national headlining act that was a big deal was Phil Vassar.
Okay.
At the Music Fest Cafe. I was like 18 or 19.
Wow. Okay.
And Music Fest and Arts Quest gave me a shot. I had no prior experience in that kind of setting. So Lehigh Valley took a chance on me and I did it, and you know, the rest is history. So Civic Theater of Allentown.
Yep.
I was cast as Holly Golightly, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Wow.
And it was probably at the time my biggest role I had ever gotten. I was a theater major and I had great roles at Ursinus College where I went to school. But
shout out Ursinus.
Yes, Collegeville.
Yep.
But I had never gotten a big role like that. So Civic Theater of Allentown, shout out to them for giving me a shot again.
Civic does some awesome productions.
Yes.
Like for the area.
Top tier.
It really is.
Yeah, the talent over there is incredible. And amazing people too. I love working with them.
Such a great resource for our community.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
The historic theater nature of it too is beautiful.
It's incredible. If anybody has not been in that theater, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the look up at the ceiling, and yeah, it's amazing. But so like all these cool things kept happening for me in the Valley. And so, you know, this light bulb went off and I was like, I felt very welcomed and appreciated and seen and like just supported, to be honest. So I just kept coming up here.
That's incredible. So, and that's
yeah.
a big part of a community, right? Whether it's where you're originally born or where a place that you're calling home for that span of life. The people that are around you, the businesses, the opportunities that kind of bring you in and give that support system to allow you to flourish and go out there and figure out, like, I want to do this, but how am I going to do it? Piecing it together one by one by one. And so now probably have built not just a channel with Music Fest, but have a good Music Fest Cafe and Arts Quest. But they have like a lot of stuff that goes on here. And I imagine that's a relationship you've been able to really deepen and go back to do other things, but then meet other people in those time frames that just allow you to fan out further and further.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've said since I was like a little kid that music is how I converse. So I don't use my speaking voice. I really sing. That's how I talk to people. So me performing, and whether it's, you know, in a theater production or it's solo acoustic, or I'm singing to tracks because I want it to be a bigger sound, any kind of thing like that, it's led me to meeting so many different people and so many opportunities. And, you know, I don't think that me just myself going to networking events alone and speaking to people, that is not my forte.
Sure.
It never has been. I do it. That's true. That's true. And I've met and seen you at multiple events
yeah,
of this doing
yeah.
the same thing. But I know it's not my bread and butter, and it's like when I really connect with people and people see me and, you know, feel connected to me, it's through my performing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a networking machine all its own, really.
Yeah. So bring us back a little bit. You mentioned your singing voice, not your talking voice. And, like, when did you realize that about that's how you connect with people? I'm assuming as a child it started to come forward. But when did you realize that? And then what made you, like, grab onto, I want to pursue this passion, make this my career?
It's funny. So I was in the choir in elementary school. And I was in like the third grade, fourth grade, whatever. And all of the fifth graders would get all of the solos every year because that was, you know, the leading grade, fifth grade. And then you go to middle school. Mm-hmm. And I was in the fourth grade and I got a lead solo over all the fifth graders.
Let's
go. And so it was Part of Your World, The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, on the younger end and I did it and I had good like reception from the crowd and just fell in love with it. Like, I don't know, it connected with me. I connected with it. Like, something with music just kind of freed me, as weird as that sounds. I was a very shy kid. I'm not very social. And so something with singing and music and getting up on stage, I could talk to people without talking to people and kind of express myself, really, in a whole different way that I had not had prior to that. So I was like, I need to do this again, basically, when I had that opportunity. So, it really started at like third or fourth grade.
Yeah, because so many people definitely don't have that pull so early on in life. I mean, we get released into this world at 18, 19, and a lot of us are like, what? So to have that so early on from a direction standpoint is so critical, and probably a large part to why you're so steadfast on where you are today and continuing to grow that.
Yeah, it's been a big part of me and who I am since I was like really little. So I always tell people, you know, if you can go without it, or like if you don't need, like I don't know what I would do if I couldn't sing or if I didn't have music. Like, people ask, like, what would you do if you weren't, you know? I don't even know. I don't even have an answer to that.
You don't
question.
Need to know, because you're doing what you're doing.
Like,
your life's
it.
Purpose is here, so you're pushing it. Was a guitar always in your hand, or did that come a little bit after the fact? I think I read, you know, just kind of prepping for this, in one of your more recent albums, you did a little bit of a throwback, did a shoot at Liberty High School, and you used the Martin that was from your high school times just as part of that.
Yeah, I thought that would be cool to bring that out and do the shoot with the guitar that I kind of like learned on and taught myself. So I taught myself how to play guitar in high school.
Cool.
And I really wanted to be like Taylor Swift. That's kind of what drew me
to.
Big Swiftie. Still a big Swiftie since high school.
Nice.
I really liked that she was my age, and her entire debut album, she co-wrote every song and played guitar herself. And I think I saw her on Nashville Star one of the first times, and she was up there alone with her guitar, and it was very powerful for me. You know, she didn't need anyone. She stood up there and sang a song. I wrote this. I'm going to play guitar. I don't need anyone. And so that kind of spoke to, like, my own sense of independence and wanting to be unique and stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I can teach myself how to play guitar. I don't need a guitarist. I can write my own songs. I don't need any outside stuff with that. I can write kind of what I'm feeling. And it's all me. The whole thing is me. So, which can be scary, too.
Sure. Because
the whole thing is me.
Yeah, right.
But I really like that a lot. So that's kind of what led me to the guitar. I did not start wanting to play guitar or even noticing guitar or thinking that I could. Yeah, that came way later.
Nice. So Taylor being a major influence. Any others notable to shout out? And whether they're musicians or maybe other people, and whether it's life or
a
more organizational or management aspect that allowed you to push? Just toss some ideas out there.
This is like a weird choice for me because I'm pop country, but I always cite Whitney Houston. She's almost a bigger influence on me than Taylor, just because she's the first artist I was obsessed with and wanted to sound like and be like, and I knew every song and knew the deep cuts.
Wow.
Watched all the movies, Waiting to Exhale, like down, like all of everything. And I there was something about her voice that spoke to me. You know, I would listen to her stuff and be like, I feel like this. I want to be like this. I want to make other people feel the way that she's making me feel when I'm listening to these songs. So yeah, she's a huge inspiration for me.
Love that. It's a good one to pick.
Iconic
for sure. You mentioned like with the guitar and being able to do it yourself and has its positives. It's, you know, also a little scary in that way. Do you do everything yourself? Like, do you have a management team or a team behind you to help with anything, booking, logistics, or are you just like, this is me and we're going all in on this and mom, dad, help me do X, Y, Z, maybe, I don't know.
So not that I'm like, wouldn't hire a manager or anything like that. I never found the right fit.
Yep. That's
and I've taken many, absolutely many
critical
meetings and many, you know, Zoom calls and things, and just nothing really clicked. So I didn't really push the issue. When I was starting out, my dad would help me set up all my equipment and run my sound for me. And then my mom would book all of my shows for me. And now I mostly do it all myself. My mom still helps me. My dad quit because he wasn't getting paid by me.
Yeah, it was
so
time.
He's like, I've quit. I'm done with this. And that was kind of around when I graduated from Ursinus. He was like,
still pretty early on, though. I mean,
yeah, but yeah. He was like, you know, you have a degree, and I think that I quit now. Like, it's all you're gonna make it happen
hands
for yourself. Yeah. And so he taught me how to operate all of this stuff and downsize the speakers because they were very heavy.
Yep.
So I have smaller little K8s that I can carry myself.
Very
and
cool.
My parents really supported me from the beginning. And
critical.
Yeah. And even now, I joke about it, but like, even now, if I needed my dad to
oh,
come,
I'm sure they're your
yeah,
biggest friend.
He would be there.
Yeah.
He would be
100%.
There.
100%.
So, yeah. So it's basically just been me and my parents this whole time.
I love that. That's how it should be. It really is. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people following you, right, and continuing to follow you. So it's more than just your parents, but that talk about that small nucleus of that core support system that for anybody that pushes mm-hmm. you into those directions. Then that starts to fan out more and more as the notoriety comes. And I'm sure
yeah.
you've experienced that with millions of views and thousands of followers
yeah.
and things like that, and turning into, we'll get into this a little bit later, but able to launch some other things from an influencer standpoint and a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
So allows different opportunities and cracks and crevices to open then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It does. It leads to so many different things as long as you keep, you know, your options and your mind open to it, being receptive to different things that maybe like you haven't done before or whatever, but it's a good opportunity. So you should take those things.
Definitely. Any events, projects, initiatives that you're working on or that are upcoming that you're really excited about and you want to share?
I don't know if we're going to talk about this later, but
it could be now,
but I'm attempting to sing the national anthem at all 30 Major League ballparks.
Cool.
And then the entire month of January, I realized that I had performed the anthem once a week for the entire month of January. And I was like, well, let's see if I can do it for the entire year and see if I can hit, I guess it would be 52, and see if I can hit that many anthems and see if I can book one a week, which is becoming difficult because I'm looking at the weeks over the summer. There's a lot of weeks in the summer.
There's a lot of weeks.
There's
in
a lot
summer.
Of weeks. There are a lot
yeah,
of weeks in the year, and then
absolutely.
I'm like, what, am I going to get an anthem the week of the Christmas week? Like, how is that? So I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to like look too far out because I'm like panicking a little bit. I'm like, am I going to make this happen? But so that's something that I've been working on for this year, just because I think it's cool and different. It speaks to my artist self. I'm like, this is cool. This is unique.
How many are you at right now?
I'm at number 8, and then I'm going to do number 9 tonight.
Okay. Where are we singing tonight?
Southern Lehigh High School,
cool.
And it's for the Colonial League semifinals.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Very cool.
So I'm excited about that. And it's getting the opportunity to see all these different places, and I've been traveling because of it. I think I'm going to be at 5 NBA national anthems, and I'm at 7 for Major League Baseball.
Wow.
And I've done Major League Soccer and like all of these different sports and different regions of the country that I've gotten to go to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where should I go next? And I'm like, maybe I should sing it all, every state, sing in every state.
Pretty close.
Yeah. It's just how can I make this crazier than it is right now? So super excited about that. And always looking to put out, hopefully we'll see, fingers crossed, an acoustic version of a song that I had previously posted when I was in my teens
wow,
on my social media.
Back.
And I'm like, I kind of want to unearth this and put it out into the world again.
That's
so
beautiful.
That might be coming.
And that's all part of life and the journey that you can create for yourself in general, but certainly as you are an entrepreneur, a business person, musician, to be able to take that artistry and project down, it's truly yours. You get to mold that, how you shape it and how you feel. Definitely want to jump more back into that. A quick break here. Louis Holzman with Kendall Conrad on Young Valley Leaders, and chat soon.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul and Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
All right, we're back. Louis Holzman here with Kendall Conrad on Young Valley Leaders. We've been talking about her journey as a musician, as a singer-songwriter, the passion that's pushing into the people here to grace our ears with some awesome pop country, but also lots of different travel, lots of different experiences, going after 52 national anthems this year. But, you know, thinking about some of that, there's also a lot of amazing things that you're doing that isn't exactly tied to the musicianship and to that portion of the career. You're a influencer, foodie, blogger,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Kendall's Bites.
Yes, all of the above.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I became an influencer during COVID, of all times to become an influencer. So I'm sitting at home with nothing to do like the rest of us, and I'm looking at all of my social media accounts, and I forget how many I had at the time. Now I think I'm pushing 60,000 on
collective.
So I have this huge like base of community and people that when I post will see what I'm doing. It's just virtual. It's not live.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I'm looking at this, you know, audience, and I'm like, how can I still speak to people? So I started doing Facebook Live shows during COVID, and then I started promoting local restaurants and places that were still doing takeout to support them.
Love it.
Like, go get takeout.
Really needed it at that time.
They really did.
Yeah.
The restaurants were hit so hard. And so, and I'm a food lover. I, like, my grandfather owned a restaurant, like, passionate about a good meal, talking over a good meal. So,
nothing like it.
So I started promoting places that still had takeout, and we're still, you know, even like manufacturing, but like I think I teamed up with a local chip company. It was not hers, I forget, maybe it was Martin's, to say like go to your grocery store and go get some Martin's snacks. And so it started with that and utilizing this network of people that I had virtually. So that was not on my bingo card at all for my life bingo card.
Sure.
So now I'm sitting here and it's become a real side hustle for me, where it's definitely a part of my brand, and what I do is promoting and supporting restaurants and companies and brands that I like on my pages. And it's cool getting to sift through things that I want to promote and things that I'm passionate about and things that I think other people should know about, and getting to like highlight things on my page and basically spread the word about things that people might not know about. And one of the coolest things is when people come up to me and they're like, oh, I went to blah, 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 because I saw you post about it and it was so cool, and I wouldn't have gone if you hadn't posted about it.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. It's really cool for me.
That is incredible. And I imagine it started with you going to places and posting and talking about them and hyping them up.
Right.
And now it's evolved to places coming to you and being like, hey, can we work together in some type of way?
Right. Right. Now it's people DMing me and
yeah.
emailing me instead of the other way around, instead of just organically, which I still do.
Sure, sure.
But now, like, I love people who come to me and they're like, hey, we could really use the press. We could really use, like, can you come and post about us? So I love that, too. I love all the above. I don't care where or how it happens, just if it's cool, the food's good, the drinks are good, like, love it. I'm there for it.
So bring some of that out, whether it's food, fun, events, like what do you do for fun in the Valley? Best kept secrets, hidden gems, like where are your spots?
Where are my spots?
Or what do you like to do outside of, you know, music? And maybe that's not a lot outside
eat.
Of that, but
just eat. I like
just
to eat.
Eat.
Food is a hobby for me. I don't cook or bake or do any of that.
But you just eat it though.
I just eat
yeah,
the
food. Yeah, which is incredible.
I'm an appreciator.
It's an important part of it.
An appreciator of food, Louis. Yeah, so that's where it ends. I like to admire a good looking plate.
Uh-huh. Presentation is a lot.
That's key.
You eat it with your eyes before it goes in your mouth.
Yeah, that's key. That's key. A good, nicely plated meal is great. That's like you want that. But I'm trying to think of stuff right now. Like, it changes depending upon seasons and my mood and everything. But
fair.
I will say, if you haven't gotten the pasta flights at Pat's in Bethlehem.
Shout out Pat's.
Really cool. Really cool
concept.
I've been
there, but not for the flights. It's heard
cool.
about it.
It's go hungry, and you will still have leftovers.
Okay.
It's cool. It's so cool. It's so unique to the Valley.
Yeah, that is unique.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool.
It's like a little BYOB spot, too,
it
right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yo.
I'm a fan of BYOB spots.
Yep, yeah. So you can bring your beverage of choice.
Right.
Yeah, it's a cool experience. I would highly recommend that. That's a good one that you'd be like, wow, I didn't know this was in the Valley.
Yeah.
But like, I like Alibi on the south side.
Nice.
They have like probably, I think, the craziest drinks.
They do got a good drink menu.
I mean,
for sure.
I mean, you're entertained by those cocktails. They're
creative.
Like,
presentation's on point.
Oh my God. It's worth it just to go over there and see them like come out with some weird like smoking. Like, I don't even know how they do it.
Yeah.
And they're all different colors and things. So there's so many great spots.
Yeah. They did a nice spot renovating that spot as well from the previous establishment.
Mm-hmm.
So what part of the Valley do you hail from, or at least hail in at the moment? Where you like spend a lot of time?
Probably. So where I am in Pottstown. I love Easton. I love Easton, but it's an entire, like, solid hour drive.
It is.
Me.
It really is.
It's a hefty drive.
It's like the mental checklist is similar to what I have to do to go to Philly. Like,
oh,
I'm just in Allentown. It's like the same.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So while I would like to spend more time in Easton, I don't like driving to Easton. Easton, I still love you, but the drive is not. So
the restaurant scene there, I will say, though, is the top notch in the Valley, I believe. Like, they do have it going on. I'll give them that.
Oh, my God. And there's so many different kinds of food.
And all walkable, very close.
Sumo Sushi in Allentown. I want to bring that. Hidden gem. More people need to talk about it.
Again, the presentation.
That's what I was just going to say. The sushi is phenomenal, but... And you have no idea. There's no like posters or anything.
No, it's just in a strip mall.
So you go in and it's unassuming.
Yep.
And they bring out the sushi over ice in these like neon light up, like little
tray things.
Yeah, it's like, what? And they're all different colors. The presentation is 10 out of 10 there. And it's like,
really
you would never know. I do think I tend to gravitate towards Bethlehem for whatever reason. So shout out to Bethlehem.
Shout out to Bethlehem. We're sitting here right now. So obviously you got a lot going on career-wise, but certainly spending a lot of time just enjoying life and the different events and friends and family. How do you balance all of that? Does it even maybe blur together a little bit because your business is you and you're kind of on the clock, your own clock all the time?
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance that to make sure you have enough time for just you as well as giving it to the other people that are closest?
Yeah. I mean... It's weird because I'm never really like you were just saying, like off.
Right.
So it's like constant. Like, I'm doing stuff at like 9 o'clock at night, sending emails, coming up with ideas for things. So sometimes I do need to force myself to stop. You know, you started it early in the morning, like, you know, you need to like take a break in order to be more effective, I think. Because sometimes then I'm not thinking clearly and I'm sending emails that have typos and things. And
sure.
then just because I'm like, you know, I need to not necessarily get things done, but I do have a sense of urgency as far as like opportunities and sending things. And I'm like, well, if I don't send this now with this idea that I have, someone else is going to come up with it before me. And someone is sending that email right now, or someone is coming up with this idea right now, and I need to do it. Before someone beats me to it, which is like a very weird mentality.
There's some truth to that. It's the balance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have to be like, it will be here in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Because you can't run yourself into the ground and
right.
like get sick or whatever. Then you can't do anything. It's like.
Right. Which I also have done.
Yeah.
And my mom's in the back like, I told you so. I'm like, Mom, sit down. No, I thought I was going to do it. That's been something that I'm trying to work on, because I'll just work right on through and hit all my marks. And that's something that in talking to other Virgos, I'm a proud Virgo.
Shout out Virgo.
Yo, I think I like to set goals and then do them.
Mm-hmm.
Like my national anthem, like I don't care how crazy they are. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I will do it. And so sometimes I need to be like, I will eventually. I just need to take a step back at this point. So like kind of putting the brakes on it is important. And that's something that I'm working on for this year. So
it seems like a step back or like a stop, but in reality, it's like more of a like a regroup of being able to take a pause or a step back to go three or four steps forward,
mm-hmm.
versus just like a slower slog through those difficult days where if you would have reset a little bit, maybe you would have had that energy to just hit it hard.
100% felt that. Yes, 100%. Yeah. And then as far as like friends, family and stuff, like more often than not, it will be meeting an hour before my gig.
Come see me on a show.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I can either stay late, which I don't like to do because I just sang for
Tired.
2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't like to do that. So usually it's meeting before, either around where I'm playing or even at the place that I'm playing, mm-hmm. and just like chatting with them there. And then with my influencer stuff, I mostly bring my parents with me. I'm like, hey, you know, I need to go here and get content of this cookie shop, whatever. So it's a lot of bonding over like these random experiences that I need to document, which like it's cool getting to do that with my mom and with my dad and including them in it. So
it's incredible because, you know, we only have so much time with our parents, mm-hmm. as we just all collectively get older. So mm-hmm. being able to cherish that with yours is special.
It's so fun. It's really fun.
On that philosophical angle, thinking about like your core values and principles that have helped you shape you as a woman and mold you to where you are here today, what are some of those core components that you attribute your success to?
I think, well, this is specific to me, but
that's why we're here.
Artistic integrity is important to me. So a little bit different than just integrity. Artistic integrity is like me as an artist and what I want to say and my brand and what I want, how I want people to perceive me. If what I'm doing doesn't align with that artistic integrity, I usually won't do it.
Mm.
And I can't come up with anything specific off the top of my head. But like, for example, if a cigarette company hit me up and we're like, hey, can you promote vaping or whatever? I'd be like, that doesn't fit.
With your brand or with your own values.
Yeah. So it's just, it goes, and I feel like that comes from having a very, very clear vision of what you're about and who you are. And like, if you don't have that, it's very hard to move forward. So I think you need to come up with like what your thing is, what you're trying to do, like what it looks like, what it feels like, and then just stick to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, it's so much easier to make decisions, in my opinion. Like, you know clearly then what will work for you and what you need to walk from. And then going off of that, just like self-respect. Nothing and no one is worth your self-respect. No opportunity, no relationship. It's just, it's my inner peace and my self-respect. I have to put at the forefront.
It's the most precious thing one can hold.
It's really hard to do, and it's hard for me to give up on things and let go of things, especially if I put a lot of time into it. But, you know, sometimes it's like if it's not working and it's not meant for you, you know, it will be better if you just give it up.
Life has a way of moving things out of your life when they shouldn't be there. And mm-hmm. You got to listen to that and follow
those
tracks.
And I'm like, no, I cling and I hold on to things. And I'm like, I can make this work. Like, this is going to work. And then I'm like, slowly realize like this is not working. I have to like take a good look at myself and be like, this is not working with me, for me. I will be more successful if I let this thing go. But it's so hard for me to make that ultimate decision to walk away from stuff. So
saying no to anything in life is hard. So saying no to emotional components that you're holding on to is probably the hardest.
Yeah. Whether that's opportunity or like, you know, art or a project or like whatever. Yeah, that's hard for me. So, yeah.
We are coming to the end of the session. It sounds like you and I could chat for hours here. Unfortunately, the half-hour segment is running tight. But I did want to get an opportunity to give you some shout-outs. Like, how can people follow you? Like, what's the best handles, online, listening to apps?
Instagram is my favorite platform.
Cool.
But I am on Facebook and YouTube Shorts and on all of the things. So I'm probably on the app that you are on.
Before you head out here, any last final words of advice or words of strength or encouragement for the other young leaders listening in?
I personally hate advice in general, which is funny. I feel like everyone's personal journey and experience is so different, and it's unique to you. And so, like, while I am that person that's like, I need help with this problem I'm having, and I ask 20 different people what they think I should do, and then I ultimately just do what I was going to do from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm that person. Mm-hmm. And then my friends and family hate me, and they're like, stop asking us for advice that you don't take. But I do think that something that has served me in the long run is there's like a little meme about it or something on Instagram, and it's like, I know what I bring to the table, so I'm not afraid to eat alone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm struggling, I'm like, know your worth. You know, you bring something special and unique to every situation that you are in. And so if you're not welcomed here, if you're not liked here, if it's not working here in any capacity, just take what you have, which is something really great, and bring it somewhere else. Like, no one's forcing you to sit at this table. That's kind of something that's kind of driven me recently. So that would be my parting words of wisdom, if you will.
Yeah, no, I love it. That you own the control at the table that you're sitting at. And I love that saying. You said it very well.
Yeah. Do you have one?
No, I'm just, you know, we all make our own luck. Yeah. And I think that in that same way, that when whatever table you're sitting at, and deciding if that's where the people you want to be eating around, or if you're going to go and eat by yourself, because eventually more people will join you if you are by yourself. So just to kind of, you know, fold on to your side. Yeah. So that does it about do it here for episode 14 of Young Valley Leaders. Big thanks, Kendall, for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
You're awesome, Lewis.
Oh, thanks, Kendall. I appreciate it. So are you. And I'm excited to see. When is your next thing that anyone can go see besides tonight at Saucon Valley or Southern Lehigh?
So I post all of my gigs on this free platform app thing that you do not need to sign up for. It's called Bands in Town.
Bands in Town.
Yeah. And you just search my name and my full schedule comes up on there.
Full schedule. Yeah. So we're definitely going to see you around, whether it's locally, nationally. Good luck getting to those 30 MLB games, right?
Thank you.
And 52 national anthems here throughout the year. We'll definitely be checking in as the year goes on to see if you hit those. As always, you can find the show airing live monthly on WDIY 88.1 FM on the second Monday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and forever streaming on WDIY.org, along with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, and WDIY's YouTube and social media channels. A big shout out to a few people that make this program possible. Lauren Matthews with the logo, bringing the Young Valley Leaders brand to life. Matt, love you, buddy. Thank you for continuing to be here with us and working behind the camera here. And James, Seamus, and all the good folks at WDIY, allowing us the time, energy, and space to bring the show to life. I'm here with Kendall Conrad. I'm Lewis Holzman, Young Valley Leaders, signing out till next month.